We're hopefully going to get this started soon. We're just having a little bit of mic trouble, it sounds like.
I don't know, I think it sounds great.
But we're having some trouble when it comes
to... We're good to go.
Oh, we're good to go. We're good. Perfect.
Oh,
We're so professional.
We're seeing our waves right now.
It's beautiful. Oh, yeah, we are actually seeing our waves on the screen.
Whoa, dude.
Oh, no, it's too early for that.
Don't blow up the mic.
More technical difficulties.
No, it'll be fine. If anyone was curious as to what sound looked like, there you go.
This is what sounds looks like.
Which is, I guess, as good of a segue into anything else.
Did you guys set that up just for this specific segue?
You know what? If we say yes, it makes us look more professional, so I'm going to say yes.
Wow, you guys got me.
We're the best. Well, thanks, everybody, for coming. I am Keegan. I am your humble master. Oh wow! I actually got applause. I was expecting the applause to come when I actually introduced Vincent Tong, a prolific and very handsome voice actor.
Thanks, friends.
I'm just gonna hand it off to you to run free.
Whoa! Yeah, right. Run free. I want to break free! I want to break free! I want to break free from your lies! You're so self-satisfied, I don't need you!
Copy.
I want to break free!
We're definitely messing this thing up.
Oh, yeah. God knows!
Oh, we totally are.
God knows I've got to break free!
That was beautiful.
There you go.
That was majestic.
You told me to break free. So
I did.
Now I've messed my voice up.
No, I'm just kidding. I'm good. Do you have any questions? Or
no,
are
no,
you...
no. I was told to,
what were you told?
To specific. I was told by my boss to let you do whatever it is you want to do. So as far as I'm concerned, no limits.
Wow, you guys are messed up.
we're absolutely mad here.
What's this panel about?
It is apparently about voice acting, and we figured since you are a voice actor,
I am a voice actor.
Yeah, that I figured it would be a good fit for you. I mean, here's the obvious one, just to like lead right out of the gate. How do you actually even get into voice acting?
Like, how does one get into voice acting?
Yes.
Well, it all began at the dawn of time, when time itself broke free from its shackles and introduce its baby self into the world. And that is where the phrase, in a world, comes from. Because he woke up and said, in a world. What is this place? It's a world.
Okay, holy cow, we are on a tangent here.
Okay, so, voice acting. How does one get into it? Shall I move over here? You seem to be filming. I don't want a mic stand in my face for you.
There we go, that's fair. We'll just get a little cozier.
Yeah, voice acting is something I've always wanted to do. I did musical theater for a long time, singing, dancing in shows like West Side Story and Beauty and the Beast. What else have I done? Footloose, you know, classics.
Kicking off your Sunday shoes.
Right?
Yeah.
Hi, come in.
Oh, hi.
Hi. I've always done like impersonations as a kid. I haven't done a lot of impressions for a long time, but I'll try for you right now since we have time. I used to love like, you know, The Simpsons and stuff like that. So I used to do like, Mom, hey, yeah, what are you doing? Hello? Yeah. Is Amanda there? Amanda, hug and kiss. Oh, what? Come on,
wait, hey, there you go. Hey, Mo, can you get me another flaming whiskey? I don't know.
Oh,
Yeah, stuff like that. And so...
Grazie mille.
And so I wanted to do voiceovers, and I didn't really know how to get into it. So when I went to my musical theater school for a year, I did this year-end project where I created this voiceover demo, and then I pitched it out to some agents. And basically, you don't have to do like 1,000 voices. You can do 10 voices, or you can just do one voice if you're a very good actor. And that's the cool thing about voice acting, is that it requires you to be a good actor. It doesn't matter if you can... But if you're a terrible actor, you're not really gonna, it's not really gonna come across. So, acting I think is like the purest, like the foundation of voice acting. You have to be a good actor. I just like pitched out my voiceover demo, and I got an agent who submitted me for so many things that I didn't get, because it's a very hard industry to break into, because there's people that are, that I've been watching since I was a child, who are still working. That
still sound like 6-year-olds, you know? So, how are you gonna break in? It's gonna be kinda tough. But,
finally, I did. And, just been auditioning and working ever since. It's a weird thing. You gotta, like, throw a bunch of different voices in there so you are versatile, so you can do different parts on the same show. And, because, like, everyone in the voice world can usually do one or two different voices, if not like 20, like Jim Cummings or Jess Harnell or Tom Kenny, James Arnold Taylor. Those guys are prolific. Kari Walgreen, like they're amazing.
Sure, absolutely.
Actors. Yeah, but the acting does come first when it comes to voice acting.
So, I mean, you mentioned it already, you brought up, you know, your musical theater background.
Yeah.
Obviously acting for film is different from stage and different from a lot of ways. Like, in what ways would you say that voice acting is unlike any other acting, and in what ways is it similar?
It is faster. When we're on set shooting, it's like a hurry up and wait kind of game. Because you get to hair and makeup probably an hour, if not 4 hours, before you're actually allowed on set. And then you go on set and you do blocking for the camera and for the director. They'll tell you where to stand, where you're going to move to. They'll tape your marks. And then they'll set up a light. So that's another hour potentially, and move the cameras potentially. And then it's time for you to shoot. And then you shoot it maybe 2 to 3 times, maybe 4 times if you're lucky. And then they'll say, okay, we gotta turn it around. So that means they gotta, because all the cameras, they don't have like 13 cameras on set, it's usually 3 or 4 maybe, and they're usually focused on this side of the conversation, you know, for having a conversation with you. So now they're gonna turn it around. Now we're gonna do the exact same scene again, but they gotta move all of the cameras facing you guys now. And then change the lighting to light you beautiful people, and then we'll just be behind the cameras as eyeline, and we'll be talking to you. And then that's another hour, if not more. And then we'll shoot it again for maybe 2 or 3 times, and then, okay, on to the next scene, and that will be maybe in that corner. And literally, 100 crew members have to pick up everything and ship everything over there, and work as the actors go to our tents or trailers, and or get some food and relax for another few hours until they call you back and you do the same routine. Let's go block it, let's go mark it, let's set this up for picture and lighting and the microphones. It's a long process. So for voiceover, we go in, we get the script sometimes a week in advance, sometimes the night before, and we go in as a group of cast, and we get to play together in the booth for maximum, usually around 4 hours for any episode. And when you're working with the pros, and with a professional director, voice director, and a professional cast, they are so good that sometimes we can get it done in half that time. Sometimes we're done in 2 hours. And what's really strange now, when we're doing recordings because of COVID and all the precautions, we have to go in one by one. If we do get to go into a studio, it's just one-on-one. So I'll be there doing all of my lines, and that's it. And I'll do my lines 3 times, and then the director will give me some notes, and then I'll do it again, and then we move on. Or sometimes there'll be a run, and I'll just do all my lines consecutively in one scene, and then we'll give some notes, and we'll do it all over again, and that's it. And sometimes we're done within the hour. Sometimes we're done in half an hour. So it's strange.
I mean, this is kind of a specific question that might date this a little bit if we look back in the future. But with COVID specifically, like you're mentioning having to go into the booth like one actor at a time.
Yeah.
Do you think that's impacted like your acting or anybody else's acting, effectively not having somebody to play off of?
Yeah, I think, I mean, for anime stuff, so like when I did Death Note, it was all just by myself, because you are literally watching a screen and matching the lip flaps. So you are by yourself, you are constrained by that already. Pardon me, I had a coffee this morning. And yeah, I feel like the acting is way better, and you just have some, I mean, that's acting, right? Acting is reacting. So yeah. To be able to react off of somebody is so much more genuine and fun to do. So I feel like we get more of an authentic reaction, authentic moments portrayed by our voices when we have somebody acting opposite of us. And that's the other difference between film and TV as well, is that you sometimes will jump into the middle, depending on where you are. If you're like, okay, they scouted the location at this barn, we gotta go to this barn and shoot because this is the only day the barn is available. But the barn scene is like the last scene of the whole episode or the movie, and you are starting your first day there. And maybe you have a romantic lead that you are acting off of, and this is the first time you're meeting, and you're starting your first day of work at the very end of the show, or the movie.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's super awkward. Or can be. It can be very weird and strange. But now, you know, in voiceover, where, you know, we start from top to end. But it is very segmented now because of this, the weird
times we're in.
The strange world.
Yeah, man. We're in a strange world, man. That's okay.
You mentioned, like, doing, like, you know, sometimes you can do like a full episode in like 4 hours, right?
Yeah.
Does that mean like you're in the booth like for a full day doing like recording multiple episodes or even like different episodes for different shows over the course of the day and you're just going from one studio to another?
Yeah. Yeah. Like when I get back home the next day, I have a video game that I'm recording from my own home studio. And then I got to go to another studio to sing 2 songs for a new cartoon, and then I have to come back to my studio to record another show that's passed through to LA. So yeah, and then you know, in back in the days, we would just be, you know, popping from different studios. So yeah, it's pretty fun. It's like a very it's tiring, it's exhausting, it's taxing on the voice. But sure. Man, is it a beautiful blessing when you have a multiple studio day.
So for sort of bringing it back to like the roots of like getting into the voice acting industry as a whole, obviously, you know, going out and getting like a demo reel done like a professional studio, this, that, and the other thing, like it's expensive and in some cases inaccessible to a lot of people.
Yeah.
Like, in terms of like starting out and like figuring out how to set things up, trying to do your own recordings. Uh-huh. Like, what are some things that people could theoretically do, even like within their own homes or whatever, like kind of pseudo professional space they can set up that might not run them hundreds, if not thousands of dollars?
Yeah, the capabilities now are so high. You know, before we would have to like get an actual professional setup, but now they make USB microphones. You have foam padding that you can get on Amazon just to like soundproof your home a little bit more. Or you can, you know, I've done auditions, and I did do some auditions last night on my iPhone. And you can buy, you know, mini mics or USB mics to plug in, and they work very well. And even on, if you use it, I think it's for every phone, or because I use this thing called Twisted Wave on my iPhone. That's like a great kind of video, easy, very basic video audio editing software that I can use just to like edit my auditions really quickly. And that's what my agent uses at his office as well. twisted way, but I just go in there. I just went in there last week to record something, and he was using Twisted Wave on his computer, and I was like, oh, that's cool. I use that on my phone, and then I booked it. So it's like, you know, you don't need to have crazy fancy things, because once you do book it, then hopefully they'll bring you into a studio, and then you record with their very fancy schmancy equipment.
All the good stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
In terms, so, you know, you were mentioning a bunch of, like, really prolific actors in the industry earlier.
Yes.
Talking about people like Jim Cummings, et cetera, et cetera. Including yourself, of course.
Oh, it's very sweet.
So I'm being honest. But all of them, in all of them, and you're, again, yourself included, all very distinct in a lot of ways. And I feel like, and correct me if I'm kind of misrepresenting the industry here, but I feel like a lot of it is sort of like finding your voice or your voice says. I mean, this is going to be, I guess, a weird question, but is there any advice you would give somebody trying to, like, find their thing?
Yes, for lack of a better term? Finding your thing. I think it's about doing what you really... I guess two things is what you're good at and what you're passionate about. Maybe they're the same thing, maybe they're not. But for me, because I watched so many cartoons as a kid, I loved, you know, who doesn't want to be the hero, right? The
of course.
Hero. So when I first started, I was doing a lot of the hero voices. Because I watched a ton of Disney movies, and there was always the Disney prince, and it would be so cool to be Prince Ariel or like Aladdin. So a lot of my voices were like this guy. You know, like, hey guys, what's going on? We gotta get into action now!
Yeah.
And that voice really sold for me. That was like my niche. That was like my go-to voice. And I got cast, and I still do get cast for that voice constantly, which is awesome. But after a while, because I'm a little bit ADD, I get, you know, bored with things, and I want to do different things. And so I had to prove myself in the room to the casting directors, the directors, and that I can do different voices. I can do,
you know, the weird kind of nerdy voice.
Yo, the big tough guy. Yo, what's up, guys? You want to find something?
Or,
you know, the little kid. I really didn't even know I could do a little kid until I was, like, watching other cartoons and of, like, Sam Vincent, a voiceover hero of mine, doing a lot of voices, and I sort of stole his stuff.
You know, just watching it. You kind of, like, steal from the greats, you know? You kind of look at your heroes and kind of just absorb what amazing things they can do and try to emulate it. And then more times than not, it definitely comes out differently because I'm doing it rather than Sam's doing it. So it's going to sound a little bit different. So you have your own take on it, and it just sort of evolves and becomes something else. Yeah.
And this is more of a personal question I'm interested to know. What are some of your favorite projects that you've worked on?
Oh, there's so many.
There are a lot. You have a
so
big
many.
List to choose from.
Well, there's a show called Lolly Rock. I don't know if anyone's seen Lolly Rock. It's on Netflix.
And I play Mephisto. I have a twin sister named Praxina, played by Kelly Sheridan, who does Starlight Glimmer, I believe. And, yes, we have a great time playing twins. And
he always, like, gets hurt. He's a bit of a wiener. Really fun doing that show because it's so much fun playing the villain. The villains are goofy, they got a lot of angst, and they're usually a villain for really cool reasons. You know, there's something deeper inside of them that causes them to be bad. Which segues into another favorite character.
I play Jestro in Nexo Knights. It's a Lego show about knights that, you know, they have like futuristic powers and stuff like that. So I did this guy named Jestro. And that was a really fun one, too, because, you know, when they were auditioning for this part, they were asking for, like, a Steve Buscemi kind of guy. So that's what I was, like, kind of going for, like, this little Steve Buscemi. But then, of course, you got to make it a little bit more playful.
Yes.
So then I did that, you know, and that was a really fun part to play.
Did something, I guess we're all legal here. We can talk about Sausage Party. I don't know who's seen Sausage Party. That's a crazy movie, man. It's a crazy movie, you know. It's about a bunch of food that is trying to escape the perils of being eaten. Anyways, it was a Seth Rogen, Evan Goldberg movie, and they produced it with a bunch of different celebrities and all their friends of theirs, and we got to play some minor characters, and I got to play a bag of chips and a juice box that had a rip in his crotch. And so I was dying. I was
I'm so cold. Please help me.
And then Nick Kroll, you know, guys know Nick Kroll?
Yeah, he does like a lot of the big mouth stuff, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's horrible monsters. Yeah, it's really fun.
And so Nick Kroll plays
the douche, and he like talks like this, and he's the big douche.
He literally is a douche that walks around with legs and hands. And he's like, and he's getting really weak, and he has this idea that he's going to get his power, and he's going to get juiced up, you know, in terms of like steroids. And he sees me, and I'm like,
help, please. I'm getting cold.
And he's like, oh, I just have an idea. And he goes, bro, you better not tell anybody about this because I'm going to deny it.
And he basically grabs my legs and starts sucking all the juice out.
And I'm like, oh, help me, please, help.
And he's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. And I get the juice up out of me from my little rip in my pants. So yeah, it's a crazy movie. And I actually did this other part that I won't talk about because it's extremely lewd. But spoiler alert, there is a food orgy at the end of the movie that is insane. One of the most insane things I've ever seen done with animation. And I had to audition for this part and did it. Very good job. And I threw my little improv in there. But I think it was so gross that it never made it into the movie. It was so disgusting. But I had a blast doing it. And they were all laughing their butts off. So.
What was the question?
The question was favorite project.
Favorite project.
Man, that was a tangent.
Right?
I guess?
Yeah. I did a show called Voltron Force that was really cool because I was a huge Voltron fan as a child. So being a part of that franchise was really awesome. I played this little kid named Sam on 16 Hudson.
He's a little dude. He likes to eat cake and stuff.
And it was just cool because he's Chinese American, and for me, representing that character and you know, showing his culture and his background just was like it's such a joy to have, and it's such a gift because for me, watching cartoons as a kid, I never saw myself on screen, I never saw an Asian like character as a cartoon, unless it was like a side character or like, oh, the character talking like this, and this is really, you know, like a Chinese master or a Japanese a dojo owner, or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was very stereotypical, very characteristic caricature of Asian cultures. But for me to represent this guy who's just like a kid who has an Asian background, but just likes to play around and use his imagination, it's just for me, it's a cool thing to know that my niece is gonna watch a show like that and go like, oh, cool, like I see my culture represented. Or a little kid can, a little Chinese boy be like, oh yeah, there's me. Like I never had that opportunity. So hopefully they can grow up and know that they are represented in media, in cartoons. And if they wanna be a voice actor, they can maybe see that it's an actual possibility a lot sooner than I did. So yeah, it took me a while to break through, you know. Still, I still sometimes will only go out for the Asian characters, even though I've done a bunch of different things.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's like we're slowly breaking down the walls, and I'm happy to be one of those people that's helping knock down those barriers.
I mean, that's first off, that's super wholesome, and I love it. I think I've only got one more question that I think we'll just open it up to anything that's
sure.
Not covered that the audience wants to ask.
Yes, please.
Oh God, well,
it'll come back.
It'll come back maybe. What do you personally enjoy? Because you've played a very wide variety of characters. Do you think it's more fun to be the hero or the villain? Because I know there was a little bit of a touch on you want to audition for the hero because you want to be the hero, but then you bring up the villain thing, and now I'm just curious.
Well, being the hero usually means you're in every episode, which means a better paycheck. But being the villain usually will potentially die or get replaced by a new villain. However, I feel like the villain's journey is way more interesting than the heroes, usually. I played a character in Iron Man Armored Adventures way back when. This is Gene Khan, who, when he puts on the Rings of Power, becomes
the Mandarin. Yes. And he was like this huge robotic kind of Mandarin. It was awesome.
I can't do those little voices anymore.
I've been doing too much of these little guys.
His journey was amazing because you think he's of course portrayed as Tony Stark, Iron Man's nemesis, but they're going to school together because it's, you know, it's the Nickelodeon version of Iron Man. They're in high school together and they go to school together, but they don't know each other's secret identity. So it's a really fun dynamic, and they're both trying to find these rings of power because Howard Stark was writing in his journal and he passed on an airplane and a crash, apparently. And so Tony's trying to fulfill his father's legacy by finding these Makuan rings. And Jean's like, oh yeah, well, Tony, I know some stuff about that. Let me help you. Yeah, let's go and become friends. But meanwhile, he's trying to steal it for his own self. And becoming the Mandarin, he fights Iron Man constantly because he's trying to find these rings before Iron Man dies. But in the end, you sort of realize that the reason why Jean Khan wants to get these Makuan rings of power is so that he can have enough power to bring his mother back from the dead. So it's like, whoa, that, you didn't see that coming, and now you see why he's acting like this, why he's, it doesn't matter who he has to go through, but he wants his mother back so bad, he's willing to go and sacrifice all of this for her. Like, it's pretty...
It honestly, you know? It's a good way to, like, humanize it a lot.
Right, yeah.
I mean, I guess we'll open it up to...
questions? Comments?
I'm pretty sure that mic is live. If not, I
have
another
come on
mic
up
here that we can...
Come on up to the microphone.
So, we're gonna find out if this one works.
Hello?
Okay. Hello!
Yeah, that's working.
So, you mentioned, like, other actors you've enjoyed working with. Are there writers or directors that if you see the, you know, the name on the script or on the list, you just go, oh, this is going to be good?
Writers, directors. Thanks for that question. I am such a voiceover nerd that I genuinely just know voiceover actors more than writers and directors. There is one voiceover director, Andrea Romano, that I've always wanted to work with. She is like a guru. Like, she's, if there was a Hall of Fame for voice actors, she would definitely be up there. Because she has voice directed everything. And unfortunately, she has retired before I could, you know, touch base in LA and work with her. But I mean, it's just cool and surprising, you know, with, there's just so many voice actors in the States compared to where I'm from in Canada, that, like, I feel like I know my niche of voice actors in Canada, but working with someone like Charlie Adler, I was like, who's Charlie Adler? I don't know who he is. And then he was my voice director, and he was Buster Bunny, and he directs Rugrats, and he's a crazy, insane man that is works a mile a minute, and is like a sweetheart. He's done musicals. He's worked at, like, I think it was like Club 54 in New York. Like, it was like, he's got such a great history and just like a great person to work with as well. So people like that. And I just started working on a project with Mary Elizabeth McGlynn, who is the voice of, I guess her name was Captain in Ghost in the Shell. So she was the English voice of her, and she voice directed Cowboy Bebop. Her fiance is Steve Bloom. So it's just like, wow, I'm getting to work with all these amazing people, and they're so nice. You're just like, oh wow, this is so cool. Because, you know, sometimes you're like, you shouldn't meet your heroes, kid, they'll usually disappoint you. But it's really cool meeting people that I've watched and have looked up to, and they're pretty awesome people, which is really, really cool. James Arnold Taylor, I worked with him as well on Ratchet & Clank, which is awesome. And I got to see him at this BeelBuzz Weekly panel and meet him in person because we recorded in two different studios. But he's such a sweetheart as well. So, yeah. Thanks.
Hi. Are there certain cities, certain cities like Los Angeles or Vancouver where a lot of the voice actors will go to work? I will say we had an online version of Anthrocon about a month ago, and one of the people involved was Graham Hamilton, who does Rock Dog 2, the voice of Bodhi.
Cool.
And I think a lot of that was done in Vancouver. So are there certain cities like that where a lot of voice actors would go? And given the pandemic, people have been able to, let's say, go to Vancouver as a result?
Yeah. There are definitely, like, the bigger hubs, I guess, in every country is going to be where the main studios are and where they predominantly will work. So in Vancouver and Toronto in Canada, those are the two major hubs where the animation at least happens. I think commercials will happen everywhere. So like in like places like Calgary or maybe Edmonton, Montreal. But like I guess in the States, it would be like LA and New York would be the main hubs. And then you got Texas where they do a lot of the Funimation stuff, a lot of the dubbing. But yeah, with the abilities of technology now, you can't really just record anywhere. You can pass through. I was in Hong Kong for a convention. Well, I was in China for a convention. I was in Hong Kong kind of like visiting, but I had a Ninjago session that they needed to get before I got back. So they patched me through to, I went to a studio in Hong Kong, passed through to Vancouver, which is the home studio, which passed through to the voice director in LA, and so we were all together on this one session, which is, you know, amazing that we could do that all the way from Hong Kong. So pretty darn cool.
As long as someone's willing to be up at like 4 in the morning.
That's right.
Right?
Yes, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's kind of like what's going on now where you could have a band and they're all in their homes and they're doing something like Facebook Live and they're all playing the instruments, they got the headphones on.
Yeah.
And it's perfect. It's like they're all in the same room. They could do the same thing with voice acting with a whole bunch of people and make it work, do it all in one take, baby.
Exactly. Yeah. We have the technology.
We have the technology! We can do it! Isn't that a good thing? A very good thing that we're all keeping sort of like, you know, a bit isolated. That's a bit weird. You know, when you're building a time machine,
What, Doc? You're telling me?
You're perfect. You're perfect.
You built a time machine out of a DeLorean?
Certainly, Molly. Of course I did. What else was I going to do? I have nothing but time. It's the only clock in the room.
There you go. Yes, that's right, Molly.
Yeah. Someone else did Michael J. Fox's part in the animated series of Back
to
the
Future. Yeah, that's right.
Someone else did his voice. He didn't do it himself. Yeah.
I know. My gosh. When I first, my very first cartoon lead was a show called Packages from Planet X. And I did a voice sort of like my Marty McFly kind of thing, you know, a little bit cracky, going through a little bit of puberty, stuff like that. And I booked it, and that was it. That was the start of my lead goofy guy career. Thanks to Back to the Future.
Favorite movie of all time. It is a great movie.
1.21 gigawatts!
Does anyone like Back to the Future 3?
Yeah, they're all good.
Which one's the favorite one? The first one?
Oh, first.
First one's the best. Time. Second one?
I like the second, the future bit, yeah.
You like the second one the best? See, when I was a teenager, though, I did like the second one the best, too. Because it was like the future. I love the future. So when I went to like Disneyland, Tomorrowland was my favorite land because it was like so futuristic. And I love the fact that in the second one, you get to like, Marty goes back and sees himself. And he has, and I don't know, he doesn't interact with himself, but he has to like stay away from himself.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like that's kind of cool. Like you're going like deeper into like Inception here, right? Like basically, Bob Zemeckis thought of Inception, the movie. Let's face it.
Yeah, I mean, if nothing else, very much like laid the groundwork for
it. Right? Easily. Yeah. Come on up.
Thanks for being here. I do a lot of, amateur voiceover work for some of my friends in game show projects and
sweet
commercial broadcast type stuff. Do you think it's as hard to get into broadcast and commercials as it is with the voice acting community?
With the animation? Yeah, it's different, of course. You know, the commercial stuff is, the commercial world, there are people who are specifically devoted to that world, and then there's some people that are specifically devoted to animation. I'm not necessarily specific with it, but I enjoy animation way more than commercial. But there are some people that love it, that love only doing commercials and promos and sounding like this. With Viagra, you can stand up to your fears. I don't know, I just said that. I've never done that at a panel before, but seeing that there's no kids here, I can say something.
Just let it ride.
But yeah, it's I feel like it's not necessarily harder or easier. I think it's just about getting your name out there, putting yourself forward for things. Getting an agent is definitely the best way at getting work that's going to be for broadcast. So going out to maybe make a demo and then submit it to an agent. That way they can pitch you out to all these other people. Maybe they can give you some advice as well. They'll go, like, okay, I hear your voice. It's really cool. I think it's good for this kind of read or this kind of show. So I think if you want to do it professionally, an agent is sort of a must. If you want to do it on Voices123 or Voices.com, something that I've never really investigated into myself, but I know a lot of my friends do it, you can just audition for whatever you want, and if you get picked, you get picked. But I think you should just do whatever your passion is, whatever you feel like, you know, you love. Because like, I don't love commercials, and I think that's the reason why I don't book as many of them, because it doesn't really inspire me to read copy about aspirin and how your Mondays are going to look great because of aspirin. I'm bored already listening to myself.
Along the lines of the departing contestants will receive Volume 7 of the Encyclopedia International.
See, that's good.
Like that.
That's amazing. See, that's promo stuff. I've never gotten into it. Or game show stuff. That's really cool. That's really cool.
I'm actually hosting one later on tonight.
That's match game at 6 p.m.
Match game! Is there a theme song?
Yes, there will be.
No way! That's amazing. Awesome. Who?
I kind of want to jump off of that for a second. So for you personally, because I feel like a lot of people here, it's like, oh, well, you know, you want to do what you love for your career, but if, you know, you do it day in, day out, you start to lose that passion for it. It doesn't sound like that's been true in your case. It sounds like you still, like, have a lot of that passion and a lot of love for the art.
Yeah. Yeah. I love voice acting. It's a realm and a medium where I have gotten to play a plethora of characters, which I really enjoy. I love playing characters. I like doing, like, the straight man sometimes. It's not as entertaining, but being able to, like, embody a character and
you know, just play a really kind of funny dude is kind of fun sometimes, right?
And I feel like I've tried the film and TV route, have had some successes, but it's hard. It's not as fun. Everyone's waiting, and you're not working. You're not playing as much. I like going in for 4 hours, seeing my friends, playing with people, riffing off of people, and there's a good amount of improv as well, depending on what kind of show it is and what kind of director you have that allows you to do certain things. But improvising with different people is super fun. You see what you come up with. I just did this like table read with this for this new feature, and the director and I were just bantering back and forth and just coming up with really funny stuff. And sometimes that stuff will stick and it might remain in the show because it was so funny. You know, you've seen those blooper reels where Will Ferrell's doing stuff and the director's just feeding him different lines and he's just cracking everybody up. It's like, that stuff is gold, Jerry, gold!
Of course. I know I cut somebody off earlier. But
yes!
I feel bad about that.
No, don't do
it.
It's all
good. No problem. Well, my thing is I'm involved in the local audio theater community. Hollywood-wise, I mean, several years ago, there was like the Thrilling Adventure Hour that a couple of people who, you know, writers who knew people would bring in, you know, like Nathan Fillion and all them, and they would do live shows for, you know, Thrilling Adventures, which is like a throwback. Now, over the past couple of years, there's been projects for a Sandman audio theater, and recently there was ElfQuest, did a Kickstarter. So,
cool.
Well, judging from your action, I'm guessing it's not on the radar.
Not on mine, necessarily.
Oh, okay. I was just wondering if there was a sense of, like, because traditionally, like, audiobooks and podcasts have been doing well, but not audio theater as much. I was just wondering
Like radio plays, right?
Yeah, basically.
Yeah.
Like old school kind, but with modern sensibilities.
Exactly. Yeah. I think there's definitely a niche for everything. And there's going to be people that are totally into that versus podcasts. And some people that hate podcasts. They're like, where's the story? Where's the action? Where's the dialogue? Where's the repartee? So they might be craving something like that. I've never done that. I know one of my friends loves old school radio plays and has produced some. And actually have done, like you said, I think like live, it's interesting. It's like live radio plays, which is interesting, right? You're like, oh, well, that's a radio play, but you want to see them do it live. Yeah, I don't know. It's not something that I'm particularly familiar with, but I am all for it. And I think that's really cool that people are branching out, doing new things, or bringing back old things and making them new again. I love it. That's really cool. So you do audio engineering at your theater?
I personally have done that. I mean, I've done the acting, writing, producing, directing, and the editing. Wow. We also do live shows, and our live shows do better than our recorded stuff, and studio recorded stuff, because people want to see, because we do the sound effects live.
Oh,
and everyone wants to sit
see
the
Foley
sound effects table.
Oh, that's super cool. I love that. So do you have like a whole setup of things?
Yeah, I've got two tables and then like five microphones for the actors.
Right.
We do it in a church right now because of the acoustic,
right.
Because of the rents, right. And yeah. Acoustics.
Right, right.
The big center for that right now is Atlanta. Like the Atlanta Radio Company is, but they're all like nonprofit groups at this point. There's no real like industry.
Yes, that's right.
That's why I'm hoping if Sandman takes off, if ElfQuest takes off, maybe there'll be I'm hopeful. I'm keeping an eye on it.
Sure.
I'm hopeful that it, causes something.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, fingers crossed for all that. Thank you.
Any other questions, comments, queries, any other
concerns,
problems, any bodily fluids that are not supposed to be there? Any scabs that need picking? Oh, he has one. We've got one. Let's see it.
Okay.
This is so weird. You actually have one.
No, just kidding.
Yeah. Okay. So you were talking. In Hollywood, actors, when they feel like their careers are starting to stall, that they'll go behind the scenes. Produce like Gina Davis or Adam Sandler. They have production companies.
Sure.
Is there like a? And I think you mentioned like at least one of your directors was also, an actor at one point.
Yes.
So do you have like a plan B if like the acting starts to go down that you'll do something else? Or do you have like other ideas in the works or just in case?
Yeah. I mean, you sound like my parents when I was saying, I want to do musical theater. They're like, oh.
I was gonna say, do you have something practical?
Right. They're like, what's your fallback plan? What's your plan B? And I honestly don't have one because I love what I do so much. And it was funny, when my wife and I first met, she was asking me, like, when do you want to retire? And I was never really asked that question before. And I was like, I don't really want to retire. I want to do this until the day I die because I really love it. I enjoy it so much. And I think I mentioned yesterday, Frank Welker, who plays Fred. He's been playing Fred in Scooby-Doo for, 30 years, maybe 40 years. It's crazy and it's amazing. And he does it because he loves it, and he's an amazingly humble and nice person, and he's a sweetheart and he enjoys what he does. There are projects that I do want to do. There's things that I would love to write. I'm a terrible writer, but I would love to write like a one-man show or some sort of comedic, duo kind of like buddy story. There's definitely things I want to do that like how kind of like amalgamates my love of comedy with some sort of martial arts aspect because I love martial. I work with Lou Diamond Phillips. You know who that is. I used to, watch him on The First Power and La Bamba, and we did this movie called Cop and a Half together. And we had to do this fight scene, and I did it with his stunt double, but Lou is such, he's game for anything. And it was so funny, total sad way, but he found out that I was a voice actor, and he's like, oh, what did you do? And he goes, I'm a voice actor too. He loves talking about himself, but he's super sweet, super genuine kind of guy. And I was like, I do this blah, 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 and Jago, My Little Pony. He goes, wait. You do My Little Pony? I'm like, yeah. Which character? I'm like, I do Flash Sentry. Like, stop. My daughter loves Flash. My daughter loves My Little Pony. Oh my gosh. And I'm like, oh, that's so crazy. So the next day on set, I brought him like a little figurine. I brought for her a little figurine of my character, Flash, and signed it, gave it to her. And he's like, dude, you don't know how much that means to my daughter. It's so cool. So anyways, everyone loves My Little Pony, is the moral of that story. But going back to the martial arts stuff. So me and Lou did the fight together. He learned it, and he did it, and he was throwing such hard punches. It was crazy. But it was a fun kind of like dance that we got to do, fight. But I told him about this idea that I had called Secret Asian Man, which would be super fun, I think, to do with him, where he would be like the old school, like James Bond, Secret Asian Man, and then I would be his like protege, and he had to train for the new upcoming missions. Don't steal that idea, please. These are like the ideas and thoughts that come into my mind. But I'm just not like, I don't have a writer sensibility. I come up with stuff like on the fly. I like to improvise, but I like to like sit down and go to. He walks into a room, and that's all I got. I honestly like get stuck there. So, but yeah, stuff like that. There's constantly ideas and thoughts that are running through my mind. I should probably get on to that stuff soon. I really hated this thing right by my foot, so I just wanted to kick it.
Yeah.
What is it? Did I break anything?
I feel like
we
it's
have technical difficulties.
Oh, well, that's probably less.
I'm not gonna.
It's a Bose.
James, did we break it?
It's a Bose.
Oh, okay, it's a Bose. They make quality products.
Perfect. How's that? Is it good?
It's
testing. Testing.
1, 2, 3, testing.
Every panel.
4, 2, 3.
We're not really using that one right
all
now.
Right. Okay, well, that's fine.
I have a question.
Yes.
So, I hear you doing all these different extreme voices.
Extreme!
What do you do to keep your vocal cords and stuff healthy and prevent them from being strained or.
Right. Usually, I would do warm ups, which I don't do because I'm very lazy. But yes, doing warm-ups, I should have probably done that before I sang Queen in the morning. Doing some tongue twisters is my first,
you do the
like
red
my
leather,
newest
yellow
one.
Leather.
What's that?
Do the red leather, yellow leather.
Red leather,
that
yellow
stuff.
Leather, red leather.
Yeah.
I found a new one that's good for me. The two Tibble twins tie tiny twine to 12 teachers tipping trek tents. So that one gets the T's all good.
Yeah.
And, but yeah, just vocal rest and like, especially if I'm screaming, I'm gonna have to like, kind of like, instead of like really screaming, I'm almost like singing it rather than actually like screaming. So sometimes you can get away with it. Sometimes they're like, come on, I know you're singing it. So they want like the gravel, they want to see some blood on the paper.
Yeah.
Doing that or just vocal rest. If I'm not going to be, if I'm going to be working a ton, then I'll do like when I get back. I'm a little concerned because I have to do a video game in the morning. But I was guaranteed that I wouldn't thrash my voice because video games are like the worst for vocal health. Usually they're booked like on Fridays because then nobody has a session afterwards and you can just keep working. But vocal rest. Just literally doing the Celine Dion like. Just don't talk for the rest of the day. Yeah. So, stuff like that. Yeah.
All right.
Any other questions? Yes?
Just going to comment a couple things.
Okay.
There are some people who have done puppeteering on TV shows and everything and make good use of their voices. I'm thinking of Mystery Science Theater 3000, like Trace Beaulieu and Kevin Murphy and doing the bots. So they're pretty good at that. Also, there are some audiobook narrators, a guy named Grover Gardner, who works for Audible and things like that. He will do something like Stephen King's The Stand, which is like 47 hours with hundreds of characters, and he has the acting chops. And something like that really turns out well. Unlike a lot of the books out there that are narrated by the author of the book and sound like this. Aren't you excited to be listening to the audiobook of my book?
I want a copy of that because that would help me go to sleep.
Yeah,
that makes some good white noise for me. Yeah, it's true. Audiobooks are another beast. I am terrible at reading, which is something that is my whole job. But I've managed to fool everyone for many years, so that's good. Because when I've been hired to do a few of these kind of in-house. tutorials or kind of like explainer videos for their company and their employees, and it's such dry material. I find it so hard to get into because it doesn't have any emotion behind it. There's no stakes at stake. Yeah, so for me, it's like those people who can read audiobooks well and act it and do their voices, yeah, I commend them. It's amazing.
Amazing.
Is that Dr. Strange in the back? Hi.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. What's your name?
I'm Evelyn.
Evelyn?
Yeah.
Hi, Evelyn.
Hello.
What's up? I'm Vincent. Welcome.
Greetings.
Greetings. Greetings, Dr. Strange.
Greetings.
Mine does that noise. I don't know if it's broken or...
I'm sure everything is fine.
Scraping the fabric of time and space.
Yeah, it's kind of scratching. Don't do that. I'm sorry.
I think, and I'm being very professional right here and looking at my phone for the time. But
Let's see how much time we have. We have 6 minutes. Any other questions?
Yeah, we've got about 6 minutes.
Or comments? Please.
Do you have any habits that directors keep constantly going, don't do that?
That is a good question. I've never been asked that. There was one time that I kept burping, but that was for the part. And then they got the take. I was so happy. I was supposed to burp the alphabet. I think just up to G. And I kept trying to do it. I was just, and I couldn't get to it. And then finally I got it when we were rolling. And I was like, whoa. I was like, did you get it? And he's like, and I was like, yes. I was so happy. And I was like, what an amazing job we have. Like, I got to burp, and someone was thrilled, and I got paid for it. But then I got more gas, so then I kept burping through. And they were like, we got it. You can stop now.
So what I'm hearing is you're living the dream.
The dream, baby. Mom, Dad, look where I am now. Burping and getting paid. Who needs a fallback plan? other things, I clear my throat a lot, as you can tell. But no, I don't think so. I think maybe I'll go on a tangent sometimes. There was this one time that I did like the... I did a line like from the guy, I forget his name, Wiesel, Tony Wiesel from The Room?
Tommy Wiesel.
Yeah, Weasel. That guy. So I was like, Mark, I didn't hit her. I don't know what is this line? What is that line?
I did not hit her.
Oh, hi, Mark. So I did that, and they're like, come on, Vince, we gotta go. Like, let's hurry up here. So stuff like that, or some, and you would do that to the engineers, and they would be like, and then they're like getting up, I'm like, I'm joking, and they'd be like, they're like by the door already, they're like, Vincent. So stuff like that, I like to be a little bit of a prankster. Yeah, not much else, I don't think. I'm usually pretty well behaved. Yeah, good question. I like that. Okay. Any other questions, comments, queries?
I might have a small question.
Come. There are no small questions.
You might as well.
So, this one, hopefully I can get an answer on. Have you ever lost a voice? And I don't mean laryngitis lost a voice. I mean, you found the perfect voice for a character and just was going up a storm. And then the next day, it's like... Oh my God, I can't mimic it. Has that ever happened, and what did you do to help that?
That's a good question. There are definitely times where I've done something that I had never done before, and literally I've forgotten. But thankfully, they always have like a safety take. That is your reference. So they'll like, can we play a ref for Vincent, and they'll thankfully have it back for me to kind of mimic again. But yeah, I mean, in any cartoon, I feel like you can see like the progression of the show through the years, and the voice has changed, even though it's the same person doing that voice. Like for Kai in Ninjago, I don't think he was like this before. And then in like one season, I feel like he was talking like this. I'm like, whoa, why did I do that in the first place? But I think like if you watch Homer from The Simpsons, his voice has definitely changed through the years.
He sounded like Walter Matthau at the very beginning.
Yeah, he does.
During the Tracy Ullman shorts and
that's
everything.
That's right, yeah. Tracy Ullman, that's right. Old schools. So, yeah. I don't think I've really, like, lost the voice in that regard. Because we have those references, but you know, I can work out really what I do. I don't know. I don't even drink, so that's kind of weird that I sound like that in the morning. But there are times though that I've gone in and my voice has been so fried from another session before that it is a little bit difficult to get to that point. But there was one time that I was doing packages from Planet X, where I had to sound like this, and like he would try different like things. He would get these like packages from this alien world, Planet X, and they would always like electrocute him, or he would fall off a cliff, or he would get shot into space, or something really weird would happen. So he had to scream a lot.
And then in the afternoon, I did Mephisto from Molly Rock, and like the stretch of this in the afternoon,
and this in the morning, it was just so wearing on my vocal cords. There's stuff like that you have to be concerned about. But, yeah, that's about it. Questions? Queries?
Pickle Rick!
Anything? No?
I'll get it there.
Hey. Well, Rick, come on, man. You gotta have something, man. You just gotta help me, man. We got like 2 minutes left. Just ask something.
What's your favorite color?
What?
Just because he's prepared with, like, you know, costume and things, it doesn't mean he's prepared with, like, a question.
What am I supposed to do?
No, don't worry about it. What?
I just asked what's your favorite color, because you said ask a question.
My favorite color is green, and I like long walks on the beach. I like dogs versus cats.
All the burning questions.
Yeah. I don't know. Doctor Strange, any questions? Comment?
If you weren't a voice actor, what would be your second career option? Where do you think you'd be now if you didn't get the job you did?
Good question. Leave it up to Doctor Strange. That was such a deep question. I used to want to be an architect because I liked drawing, but then I was like, you gotta go to school for how long? No, forget it. But I think I would maybe be like a counselor or like a psychologist or something like that, because I do like listening and I think I'm pretty good at giving advice and stuff like that, and I really just enjoy like interacting with people. And you know, helping people out is always a fun thing. So maybe doing that. Maybe being a teacher. Teachers are, you know, they have a tough job and they are amazing people. Whoever, you know, is a teacher, like, it's tough. Talking to kids for that long and inspiring them and having the patience. I mean, I talked to my nieces for an hour and I'm exhausted. Imagine being a teacher and having kids? What are you doing? You're crazy. No, it's amazing. I just don't have the patience for it.
I love how you bring up the fact, it's like, oh, I wanted to be an architect, but I'd have to go to school for too long, and then the next two examples you bring up are like psychologist and teacher.
That's true. Now that you think it, hey, okay, forget it, I'll just be an actor.
Well, I think that's going to be time for us, but thank you to everybody who showed up.
Yeah, thanks so much, everyone. Thanks for your questions. Thank you for moderating.
Thank you for being just a delightful person to be around.
Thank you. Thanks, everyone. All right. We'll see you guys soon.
At some point. Yeah, as I check my schedule to see what we got next.
All right. Thank you.
And Vincent will be next door signing autographs. Yeah. Want to meet you guys, take some pics.